Chapter 26. Hedrock walked slowly along the Avenue of Luck, savoring the difference in its appearance. He couldn't recall just when he had last been on the street, but it seemed a long, long time ago. There were more establishments than he remembered, but not many changes otherwise. 100 years did not affect the structural metals and material of a building made under the rigid Isher regulations. The general architectural designs remained the same. The decoration was different. New lighting facades, planned to attract the eye, confronted him in every direction. The science of refurbishing had not been neglected. He entered the Penny Palace, undecided as to what level of action he should pursue. He favored the irresistible approach. He thought, better leave the decision about that for the moment. As he walked into the treasure room, a ring on his little finger tingled. A transparency was probing him from his right. He walked on, then turned casually to examine the two men from whose direction the impulse had come. Were they employees or independents? Since he always carried about 50,000 credits on him, independent sharpers would be a nuisance. He smiled gently as he came up to them. "I'm afraid not," he said. "Forget any plans you had, eh?" The heavier of the two men reached into a coat pocket, then shrugged. "You're not carrying a weapon shop gun," he said pointedly. "You're not armed at all," Hedrock said. "Would you like to test that?" And looked straight at the man's eyes. The gambler was the first to glance away. "Come on, Jay," he said. "This job isn't the way I figured it." Hedrock stopped him as he turned away. "Work here?" The man shook his head. "Not," he said frankly, "if you're against it." Hedrock laughed. "I want to see the boss." "That's what I thought," the man said. "Well, it was a good job while it lasted." This time Hedrock let them go. He felt no surprise at their reaction. The secret of human power was confidence, and the confidence they had seen in his eyes was rooted in certainties of which most men had never heard. In all the world, there had never been a man armed as he was with mental, physical, emotional, neural, and molecular defenses. Lucy's description of Martin's office made it unnecessary for him to explore. He entered the corridor at the back of the gambling section. As he closed the door behind him, a net fell over him, neatly enveloping him. It drew instantly tight and pulled him several feet above the floor. Hedrock made no effort to free himself. There was enough light for him to see the floor 5 feet below, and the indignity of his position did not disturb him. He had time for several thoughts. So Harge Martin had become wary of uninvited visitors. It proved something. Just what, he would leave to the moment of meeting. He had not long to wait. Footsteps sounded. The door opened and the fat man came in. He turned on a bright light and stood with a jolly look on his face, staring up at his prisoner. "Well," he said at last, "what have we got here?" He stopped. His eye had caught Hedrock's. Some of the jolliness faded from his expression. "Who are you?" he snapped. Hedrock said, "On or about the night of October 5th, you were visited here by a young man named Cale Clark. What happened?" "I'll do the questioning," said Martin. Once again, his eyes met Hedrock's. "Say," he said querulously, "who are you?" Hedrock made a gesture. It was very carefully timed and estimated. One of the rings on his fingers dissolved the hard material of the net. It parted beneath him like a door opening. He landed on his feet. He said, "Start talking, my friend. I'm in a hurry." Ignoring the gun that Martin snatched, he brushed past him into the large office. When he spoke again, the confidence was in his voice. It required only a few moments after that for the resigned gambling palace operator to decide on cooperation. "If all you want is information, okay," he added. "Your date is right. It was October 5th, about midnight, when this guy Clark came in here. He had his twin brother with him." Hedrock nodded but said nothing. He was not here for discussion. "Boy," said Martin, "they were about the most cold-blooded twins I ever saw, and they worked together like a team. One of them must have had some army experience, because he stood, well, you know the hypnotic posture they get. He was the one who knew everything, and was he ever tough. I started to say something about not being a sucker, and I got a blast across my legs. I made a bit too fast a move when I turned to pump the money out of the safe, and another blast took off some of my hair. He pointed at a bald spot on one side of his head. Hedrock examined it briefly. It had been close, but obviously trained shooting. Weapon shop or army. By elimination, army. "You're all right," he commented. Martin shuddered. That guy wasn't worrying whether I was all right or not. He finished complainingly. "Life is getting too tough. I never knew the normal defense devices of Isher could be so easily nullified." Outside, Hedrock headed for a carplane stop in a meditative mood. The existence of the two Kales was now established, and one of them had been in the army long enough to receive more than preliminary officer training. He had had that training on October 5th, a mere one day after Kale Clark's arrival from Mars. By the morning of the 6th, the day Clark joined the army, according to the record, he had 500,000 credits. It was a nice stake for a young man trying to get ahead, but it scarcely accounted for certain things that were happening. And large though it was a tiny sum when considered in its relations to Kale Clark's Calidetic Index, if the calidity were due to follow a money pattern. His car plane arrived, and the thought ended. He had one more call to make this morning, Colonel Medlin.